Welcome to the Larry Kreider's Leadership Podcast. Larry is the author of over 40 books, the founder of Dove International, a worldwide family of churches and ministries in six continents, and has over 50 years of leadership experience. He and his guests will share inspirational leadership insights from their journey with God. These insights, gleaned from serving leaders in many nations, will transform your life and leadership. For more information on Larry's books and resources, visit LarryKreider.com.
Welcome to the Larry Kreider Leadership Podcast. Larry Kreider here. I'm just thrilled today to have Derek Diener with me in the studio. Derek, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Larry. It's good to be here.
I've known you for quite a few years, and man, you've taken some huge steps of faith in the film industry and all kind of stuff we want to talk about.
Yeah.
Basic leadership stuff here. I mean, did you imagine when you were a kid that you would be doing the kind of things you're doing today?
I mean, it's funny. I actually did, but I...
Did you?
I did. I think I did. No, I really did. I always wanted to make movies, be in the film industry.
Right.
I had this kind of interesting mix of creative and entrepreneurship aspirations.
Yeah.
I actually had big dreams, but and I still do, like even bigger than what I'm doing now. But I think, you know, it's one of those things that when you actually start doing it, you're like, oh man, is this what I always wanted to do? It's a lot harder and a lot more intense than what you imagine as a kid, but... Yeah, for sure, actually. Wow.
So obviously, you know, you have Make Films. Talk to us about Make Films.
Yeah. So Make Films is a production company based out of Lancaster, Pennsylvania, in Lancaster City. Mm-hmm. It's become more now of a production and development company, a film development company. And we have a commercial division where we do, you know, branded content, TV commercials and brands for brands and agencies. And then we have a film and TV side where we do, you know, production, video, TV and film development, and then actual production and post and now, you know, distribution as we find the right home for our projects.
So some of the ads we might see on TV were Make Films.
Yeah. Okay. And most of the brands we work with are East Coast brands, but we work with, you know, different companies around the area. You know, some have been like Sheets or Hershey's or like larger brands, but then, you know, nonprofits and Lancaster Chamber and, you know, then different size companies all over the map. Yeah.
So to do all this, obviously, you had to learn a ton about leadership. We want to talk about leadership today.
Yes.
So as you go back, you know, when you first started Make Films, you started in that whole industry, I'm sure you had probably a small staff, a few people with you.
Yeah.
What did that look like? What did you learn about leadership in that process?
Yeah, it started with just me as a freelancer doing, you know, different projects for different companies. And then, but that was probably, you know, only a year or so, less than a year even. And then I my wife and I were just getting married at the time. Sure. And so she helped with all the financials. And then my brother came on board part-time in the beginning and quickly came to full-time. So it was the three of us very early on.
Okay.
And then working with freelancers to bring on for different teams. So I you know, looking back at that time, my leadership was very different than what it is now. I mean, I should say it was the baby version of it.
Right.
But I always felt like I wanted to, I guess, take charge in situations. Like if there was nobody really doing things or taking action, I was always the one that would like lead the teams, or even as a kid in high school and middle school, I would just kind of take over things. If I'm not leading, it's okay. But if things, or if there's an absence of it, I would quickly step in.
Yeah.
So then early on it was, you know, managing basically my brother who was an editor and then grew up into a cinematographer and now director and different things. And then my wife with the finances. And then I think some of the hardest parts in the beginning was leading myself, you know, because you gotta start with leading yourself. You gotta start with that.
Exactly.
And then now at the fast forward to now is more of a CEO kind of visionary role.
Sure.
It's still the hardest thing for me to do sometimes is myself you have to hold yourself accountable and then you have to be real with yourself about those things.
Yeah.
I mean, kind of half joke about that, but I'm serious too. But at the same time, in the beginning, I think leading is about, for me, as the founder of an organization, is really about like looking in the future of the direction that we're going. Mm-hmm. And then looking at I'm not the best, I'm growing a lot more with the present, learning how to deal with the present day, like now.
Right.
And then the past. So it's this really interesting kind of mixture of being ready for what comes, being kind of set up to like breakthrough outcomes, or like what's the outcome that I want to hit.
Sure.
But then being real with what is going on in your business and the world and
sure.
personally and the people that you're working with, so you can kind of take those things, take where you're at now to where you need to go.
So Make Films, Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Yeah. And you know, you've been, how many years have you been involved in Make Films?
In April, now 9 years.
9 years already.
9 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I know now you've had a major project, Brave the Dark, the movie.
Yes.
And we can talk more about that either in this podcast or another one. So what are some other things that you've done in these years that could help our audience? And then we'll talk about leadership.
Yeah.
Some other things that you've been
so
involved in.
So we started really doing the commercial branded production with the hopes of growing, having a kind of an infrastructure of a team to take on the larger film and TV projects.
So way back in those early days, you thought you want to do film.
Yeah. Oh,
you
yeah,
want
yeah.
to do movies.
Yeah, for sure.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, so talk about then the journey that led you from there to here.
Yeah. So it was about understanding, you know, what it takes to, you know, shoot a commercial or shoot a branded content spot or shorter form content, understanding okay. kind of the principles of production. You know, even just in the beginning, I was doing a lot more hands-on, you know, directing and cinematography shooting,
right.
Even some editing. I'm not the most detailed in that way for editing, but I was still in the beginning stages
sure.
was doing that. So it's really about as a producer now that I'm a producer and kind of leading projects from like a 30,000 foot view.
Right.
It's really helpful to me to have the background of how cameras work. And I can actually pick up a camera and shoot, and I can, you know, light and do things, you know, obviously not, probably not to the quality of the people I work with now,
right.
but I can do it, and I know lenses. I know the whole,
right.
the whole production outline. So that really helps me, with the foundation of what film and production is. And then, you know, slowly started adding people to our team who are way ahead of me in all the areas that they bring and commercial production, editing, organizing, coordinating, and then started bringing more people on the film and TV side too that have more experience in that.
Mm-hmm.
And then partnering with, you know, the film and TV business is really about partnering with other producers and other production companies.
Right.
And there's, you know, scripts or there's ideas or there's things. And as a team now, we're a team of 13 people, you know, we can't do it all. So
of course.
The two projects, you know, a couple of the projects that we've done over the years that brought us to where we are now mm-hmm. is we did these like kind of short films and short web series really helped us kind of get going too. The first thing we did for TV was called Dream Weddings. It was a wedding show that aired on our local NBC affiliate.
That.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
we did three seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Worked with an awesome team with the WGAL locally at NBC affiliate,
right.
and Martine and Tracy and a bunch of really good
sure.
people. That really helped us learn TV production.
Okay,
how to do a 23-minute show. Very, you know, very early on, very small team, but we were able to do that. And then from there, we did a show called Dismantling Democracy. It was a 3-part series that aired on PBS stations with the University of Virginia
mm-hmm.
and just studying that aired in 2020 during the elections, which a lot of things going on in our mm-hmm. world, not just in
right.
America, but
right.
in democracy. And
right.
what does that mean to protect democracy and how do people get involved? And it was a bipartisan study, you know, interviewing like Ted Cruz and Tim Kaine
wow.
and a lot of different
sure.
Political, you know, reporters and
sure.
things in that. So that then took us to the next level. That got nominated for an Emmy, which was awesome. And then
wow.
and then we did, you know, two feature films. One, I Heard the Bells, that we partner with Sight and Sound.
Right, exactly.
You know, I should say they partnered with us. They brought us in to produce that
right.
with them. And then Brave the Dark, which Inspiring Films came to us to partner with them. And of course, then Nate Dean, who wrote the original script,
right.
who was based on his story. And all the people involved with that. So it's certainly a collaboration business, and there's lots of people, lots of things that I've learned over the years with personalities and,
yeah.
You know, creatives and logistics and a lot of different things that, you know, every time I do a new film, I'm going to learn so much from the past 9 years.
Right.
That just hope to keep growing myself. Like I said, keep growing
right.
myself to lead and overcome challenges and obstacles.
Right. Now, I know for you, it's a spiritual thing too. Talk about that a bit. How does that work? Your faith walk, how does that work? You work with all kinds of people, all kinds of background, all kinds
for
of beliefs,
sure.
on and on.
Oh,
so
I know.
So talk about that. How does that work?
Yeah, I think, you know, faith is such an important part of my life. I mean, it's the foundation of everything for me personally.
Mm-hmm.
I think my approach when I'm working with people is to hopefully they see you know, my walk and the way that I'm doing things, and that the industry itself can be, the film industry itself and the commercial industry, they both can be really tough and grueling, and you're just working so many hours, and feels like you're putting, you're not going from positive to positive, you're going from fire to fire, and you're always putting out fires. And so my hope and goal is always that I handle things with integrity and with, you know, the love of Christ comes through me to other people. And, you know, there are times, of course, you have to be intense and you have to, you know, there's a certain standard that you have to hold when you're leading, and let people go, or kind of, you know, doing things that you don't like to do. But I'm always trying to do that in the best way that I know how, and the way that I feel like would be Christ-centered, and something that by faith and those guiding principles allow me to be on.
Now, Heard the Bells did really well.
Yeah.
You know, extremely well. And you, you guys were key in helping Sight and Sound do that.
Yeah.
Talk a bit more about that, how that worked.
Yeah. So Sight and Sound is such an awesome, like, fierce, like, they have such capabilities there with their theater. And, you know, they've been saying publicly that people have come to inside of their theaters, two theaters now, and now it's time for them to go into people's homes, into other theaters, you know, outward.
Right,
and that's where the film business kind of came in for them. And then they brought us in, and, you know, also we're very aware of what we were doing at Brave the Dark, because Nate Dean, you know, works at Sight and Sound as a producer and was working on I Heard the Bells.
Yep, I remember.
And his,
that.
You know, his story is Brave the Dark. And then, and Stan Dean, you know, his adopted father and mentor, worked at Sight and Sound for a while too. And everybody knew the story. And so they were very involved. So it was very interesting, because I Heard the Bells, when they came to us, it was like we were learning film production and growing capabilities for Brave the Dark. And they were learning kind of through that with us. But then I Heard the Bells came, and we're like, okay, we can work on this one together too. And these two films became very much like learning every step and kind of tied in some ways in terms of how we can both level each other up with our capabilities. I mean, they, you know, they have a really large team, and they're able to do costumes in house and the writing and the scripting. And then our team was able to do, you know, producing, production, camera, lighting, and then scaling up and bringing more freelancers and stuff, and, you know, contractors to solve the problems that we needed to solve. So it was a really cool, and then, you know, we did all the editorial in-house. We had our editor from Make was the editor on the film, and post-production supervision, and all the post side was pretty amazing how that whole thing played out too. So they, you know, they have strong vision, strong creativity, really strong ideas on where they're going and what they're doing. And so we just were able to plug right in and you know, take the ride with them. And they took the ride with us on Brave the Dark.
Exactly. That's so cool. And, of course, that film did so well. Did that film do better than was expected? Or do you think that was the expectation?
Well, I think it started off for them as this is the industry they want to go into, but, you know, we don't know film like we know theater, like they, you know, and so they, I don't think they really had, they wanted it to do well, but this for sure, I think beat their expectations.
Yeah.
But it was amazing how it did that. I mean, it was amazing. You know, they were really smart too with, having a Christmas film, the timing of it, of course the film has to be good for that, you know, for people to watch it too. And they did a good job with that. And, Steve Buckwater, who's a cinematographer from Make Films, was the cinematographer on the film. And, you know, he worked with Josh Eng from Sight and Sound, the director, on the look. They really cared about the look. They almost shot it on film too, but they went a digital route for efficiencies. But, you know, they got these old, like, anamorphic lenses that are, well, they're new, but they're based on old technology. And it's a beautiful kind of vintage look. It looks really organic and has an awesome feel. And, you know, it's really invested a lot into the look of the film too.
Yeah. Well, I love what you're doing. I love where God's taking you and love where you're headed. Talk about some mistakes. You made any mistakes, Eric?
No, nothing.
None at all. You're the guy I want to talk to.
Yeah, no, it was great.
What would have you done different? What's the thing you would have done different as you look back?
I think the big thing for me personally, because I'm, I can be a really nice person, and nice is an interesting kind of word, right? It's like, I can tend to not confront when I need to kind of, you know, confront, essentially, is what it was. And, you know, heard a good quote by a mentor throughout this filming process. It's like, sometimes the level of insanity you're dealing with is directly proportionate to the level that you didn't address things when you should have.
I think that's true.
Yeah, it played true in my life. And I think there would have been times where, you know, I could have had a simple conversation about something and nipped it in, you know, sure, in the bud early on and talked to somebody about something or just had a conversation. Sometimes it's just bringing clarity to me as a leader, what's going on in the organization or within the film.
Sure.
And I'm such a relationship person that I'm always, I think the one thing in leadership that I'm still growing in is I'm always trying to look out for the person and trying to, you know, have them and their experience within the film and their experience within the company and their kind of their growth is so important to me. But I sometimes can rob them of the discipline that they're mm-hmm. needed in those moments mm-hmm. because I don't want that to take them back or take a negative step right. back in their life. And I can overthink the fact like disciplining or confronting something or being bold about something like that. I know that it's going to kind of give them a bad day or a bad right, moment, but right. it actually is needed for their growth mm-hmm. and it's needed for the overall growth of what we're doing. So that was like, I think a lot of the mistakes that I've had is in that area is in like, and not to say that I'm not saying that I'm perfect and I've never needed that. I've needed that for myself too, for myself too. But having those types of conversations and then, you know, trusting, you know, certain people and learning from, they're trusting myself sometimes too and the kind of what God's planted in my heart about things and then talking about those things early on mm-hmm. has been something to learn. And just, you know, stepping in, I'm always really good at like jumping and like, just right. like, let's just figure it out. And then sometimes that can be great. And then mm-hmm. sometimes it can be, I mean, most times it's completely frightening, you know?
Sure.
But I'm learning to kind of deal with that stress and anxiety better because I'm great in the moment when you jump off. And then when I'm in the air a little bit, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, what did I do? What did I do? But I'm glad that I forced myself. That's always been my thing. Like I forced myself out of my comfort zone. And then it's just too far. There's no exit. I'm too far down the road. I got to figure it out. You know, I got to figure it out. And that's been a great entrepreneurial journey and a great leadership journey of like getting my feet underneath me a little bit more mm-hmm. and stopping the, you know, I'm a huge sports fan. So this is an analogy I've used a lot during the production where when I started in commercial and doing all these things, I felt like compared to the pace and compared to the intensity of the film and TV world, it was like high school football versus the pros. And then when I started doing these features and it's like 1,000 mile per hour freight train, you know, going and everybody's jumping on and off at the right time and synchronization right. and it's not going off the rails, but it can feel like it right. sometimes.
Right.
It's like football that when you see a college football player going into the pros, they always say, man, the speed of the game is so much faster in the pros and it takes them a few games to like get their feet underneath them and to feel like to slow it down.
Right.
That's essentially, I think one thing that's helped me think through and kind of get outside of my circumstances is that when you are outside of your comfort zone and when you are really in an area where you feel like, oh my gosh, like what is going on? Like right, this is way too right. fast for me, is to just slow it down and sure. to kind of externalize and really just for me was a lot about prayer and meditation just to mm-hmm. Slow my thoughts, my brain mm-hmm. down too and continue to protect that mm-hmm. and continue to protect your optimism and your
right.
belief. Because right. Everything that I'm doing now really is a result of the belief that I had in it a couple years ago and kind of partnering with God on that and
right.
saying, this is what I believe I'm called to do. Mm-hmm. Like this is like, I'm doing sure. it now. But believing that early on when circumstantially nothing like that was happening, it was, right. I mean, I was in production, but I was very small production,
right?
Even 10, 15 years ago. So believing in that and partnering, of course, then with my wife too, and belief in that.
Yeah.
And then when sometimes circumstances don't kind of match up with your belief or your thinking, not letting it derail you and not letting it disappoint you. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge thing for personal growth.
Sure, of course. Yeah, obviously you grew up in a home, a theater home.
Yeah.
You know, Kavod Theater, your mom, you know, your dad, you know, Connie, Dave, Diener. And your mom has told me many times how that you've spoken into their lives and into Kavod Theater and helped Kavod grow so much. So here you are, it's kind of almost like mentoring another generation. Yeah. So how do you get mentoring? Who are the people who speak into your life?
Yeah.
Who do you look to? I mean, are there books you read? Are there audiobooks? Are there people you look to? What's that look like?
Mentorship and personal growth have been the biggest drivers of growth for me personally.
Okay.
Most of the mentors that I have are entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a couple of people, you know, I think my most influential mentor in this area is Merv Smucker from Smucker Company.
He's a great guy,
And, you know, then we developed a relationship with Merv and Kathy, his wife, Ashley and I did. And, you know, then, you know, that was been, you know, almost 9 years ago that we began our friendship and mentorship. And then, you know, 5.5 years ago, I had colon cancer out of nowhere.
Right.
And Kathy had cancer too, colon cancer as well.
I didn't realize.
Yeah. That. And so then we were able to navigate, Ashley and I were able to navigate together with Merv and Kathy about how they, you know, balanced business ownership and health and all the things that they went through when she was diagnosed and when I was, we were able to process through that. So that was such an incredible personal and professional mentorship that I think that really just helped me grow so much. And there's something that I did for years for entrepreneurial coaching called Strategic Coach with Dan Sullivan. Mm-hmm. And that was an incredible journey. And then another one was something called Gap International out of Philadelphia.
Okay.
And they are actually linguists that started by helping people that are in different countries, 40 years ago, different countries, and how language then affects working together in business and the power of language, the power of thinking, and the power of your, it's pretty incredible how they kind of, it's a little bit like your brain on steroids and how they crack open the thinking and language.
Amazing.
And they, then they became doing more kind of business coaching and, you know, executive coaching and team coaching. They work with RKL here in Lancaster and a bunch of other companies.
Sure.
Those two are big kind of organizations that I've done. And then other things, you know, I've spiritual mentorship and business mentorship, and then a ton of books, you know, a lot of books and reading. And I listen to a lot of audiobooks, so I'm constantly listening to books. Every year I listen to The Power of Positive Thinking.
Sure. Norman Vincent Peale. I read that years
I know.
ago.
I actually showed my mom that book recently, Connie, and she heard him like back on the radio with her dad was a minister growing up. And she was like, "What? My son's recommending me this guy?" Actually, it's funny because I got recommended that book on social media by Steve Harvey. I was watching, you know, Steve Harvey's like, you know, talk shows. And he's like, you know, the book that changed the trajectory of my life is The Power of Positive.
Really?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So, yeah. So I listened to it because of him. And then that's like a yearly book. And then there's also some other kind of interesting foundational thinking books like the, you know, How to Win Friends and Influence People, Think and Grow Rich. Those are my yearly books.
Yeah.
At least yearly. And then, a lot of other types of, you know, John Maxwell Tim Ferriss so many other kind of Adam Scott. There's a lot of people in today that are studying, you know, human behavior and thinking, and I'm such a, you know, kind of student of that. So
I'm so glad you're sharing this because some people think, well, this all just kind of happened to you.
You're
living your dream in many ways. You're called to tell a story on film.
Yeah.
And you're doing that now, but you're still constantly being mentored by some people you know, some people you don't know.
Yeah.
And there's such great wisdom in that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I want to reaffirm you on that.
I always think, you know, there's a great Steve Jobs quote that talks about like everything in our world is just made up by people just like us. Right. And it's so true. It's like this walls that we live in, this drywall was all just designed and made up by somebody on earth. And that gives you such power, I think, to say, I actually can make a dent in this world too. And I can do something. But the thing that I like to do too is learn from people that have done those things and learn from people that are making that kind of impact that I want to do. So whenever I'm trying to go into a new industry, and, you know, especially when we went from commercial to film and TV, it's like finding people that have done it and growing on their journey. And, you know, sometimes you, you know, you learn from mentors in a certain way. And then sometimes you learn, they'll tell you what not to do, or you learn what not to do from what they're doing.
Right.
And I have a great entertainment attorney that I, you know, got through Brave the Dark in New York, and he's been an incredible mentor now taking on this next journey, and other producers that I've learned from. So I'm constantly trying to find that, you know, as I take on those next steps, every time I take on those next steps, it's finding people that not only have been through that journey, but also have the same values that I have. Right. I'm not necessarily always spiritual values, but I think that's a huge part of it to me. But sure. It's also just the way that they treat people and the way that they want the content, especially in the film industry, the care that they have in the right. content. Like, those are huge values. Like, there's a huge thing that's important to me is to treat the crew well and to treat the people well that are working with, to lead with the, like, there's so many producers and, I mean, you know, the unions that exist out there are because producers are just not great sometimes. And it's like, they treat people so poorly. So there's lots of union rules that can be very challenging sometimes, especially with Brave the Dark. It was my first large union film.
Right.
So learned a ton about that. But I think then you're looking, you're like, man, that stinks that they have to have this rule. That means that somebody really crappy. Yeah, I know. Somebody that's really not a really nice person that tried to. So to me, it's like, yeah, you can make a great movie and just treat everybody terribly and, you know, squeeze every ounce out of people and work people to the bone. But that's not what I want.
Right.
Like, I want to have a long career in this, and I want people to want to work with our projects because they know the way we treat them.
Right.
And I just don't think it's the right way to do things.
You're so right, man. We're out of time. I can't believe this has been so much fun.
Oh.
I really want to drill down and have you back for one more, I guess, and really drill down on the movie Brave the Dark and the whole story and how that happened and the process of all that.
Hell
it's
so
exciting. So appreciate everyone joining us today. And Derek, appreciate you so much. Appreciate your heart, you and Ashley. And anyway, anybody, you want to know more about what's going on with Make Films? I'm Derek Diener. It's all in the show notes. You can check that all out, and we'll put on there anything else that would help you get a hold of them and what they're doing, and so you can obviously connect with them. So thank you so much for joining us today for Larry Crider Leadership Podcast. Derek Diener, thank you for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and we'll have you back. Thanks so much. God bless you. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to Larry Crider's Leadership Podcast. If you want more information about any of Larry's books, daily devotionals, small group resources, or any other teachings, go to LarryCrider.com.